The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Okay, Tov Shavua. I've obviously been watching with a lot of interest the events over the weekend of Naftali Bennett, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's visit to Washington.
Yes, a few people have asked me to analyze Joe Biden's body language. I said it's very hard to analyze somebody's body language when they're dead. It was very hot. I think this guy died months ago and no one's told us. They're wheeling him out to these meetings. He sits there. It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, very interesting comparisons that you make. A few fascinating reports that I've seen and also analyses that I've seen from the meeting of the Prime Minister with President Joe Biden, which was delayed until Friday, ultimately, took place on Friday. And then, of course, we had the Shabbat dinner and the Shabbat festivities that took place at the Willard Intercontinental Hotel. This was not the plan. The plan was that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett would actually be home for the weekend for Shabbat. And unfortunately, he was not able to make it back home. And so the festivities, I don't know if there really were festivities, but certainly a Shabbat celebration took place at the hotel after the meeting with Joe Biden. And of course, there were the delays, of course, to the meeting because of the Biden administration delaying the meeting with Naftali Bennett as a result of that massive event that took place in Afghanistan, which delayed the meeting between the Prime Minister and the President. But ultimately, it seems to have worked out pretty well, even though the meeting was delayed. And some fascinating reports that came back from the Willard Intercontinental Hotel, where the Shabbat festivities took place after the meeting with President Joe Biden on Friday. What was interesting for me was that the Israeli embassy in Washington kicked into high gear in order to arrange this Shabbat dinner, Shabbat, I don't know if we could call it a festivity, but it's certainly a celebration that the Prime Minister happened to be delayed in Washington over the weekend, and the Israeli embassy kicked into gear to set up these Shabbat celebrations. And also some fascinating, poignant pictures that came out from the Naftali Bennett and his group of people who had accompanied him, including the journalists, and including the all the people who were part of his delegation, who were delayed in Washington and ultimately spent the weekend there. So definitely a very fascinating situation that took place in Washington. And of course, some poignant pictures that took place that were sent, one that I saw that was sent back of Naftali Bennett actually having praying in his hotel room in the day before he met with President Joe Biden, a picture showing him standing up against the hotel window, light coming in, Naftali Bennett with his prayer shawl, with his talit, with his tefillin on, praying. He is the first ever Orthodox Prime Minister, we understand, who was sent across to Washington to meet with the President of the United States. Some quite interesting information and some quite interesting pictures. Apparently, the Israeli embassy set up a whole Shabbat system for not only the Prime Minister but also his entourage and also the journalists who were accompanying him. The Friday night was at the hotel. Saturday, a shul was set up, a makeshift shul at the hotel, in order to allow the Prime Minister and his delegation, and of course all of those who accompanied him, to mark Shabbat, to keep Shabbat, before they were then shipped to Andrews Air Force Base late on Saturday and sent back to Israel. The Prime Minister has now returned. But of course, what's interesting for us is what came out of the meetings with President Joe Biden.
Did he really fall asleep? I mean, people are asking me, is it arrogance or Alzheimer's? As I said, I think it's death. But I don't know. His body language was very peculiar. It wasn't normal, Anthony. It's not a way that people sit, two global leaders sit in a meeting with your hands in front of you, your head down, masked, it was bizarre.
I think that the masks are very, very easy to hide behind, right? Joe Biden's body language was a little strange, but one wonders whether it's important what came out of the president himself or what was actually documented and what was formally proposed and agreed in the meeting, no matter what the president himself said. I mean, to some degree, these meetings are very much choreographed and, so, you know, we know that the president was there, that we know that certain things were agreed upon, particularly important issue of Iran. The president was reported to have said not only that he supports the way in which the Israeli attitude was presented to Iran, but some very, very interesting Iranian issues came out. First of all, the president said that, you know, if diplomacy doesn't work, that we have alternative things that we're able to take and do about Iran. Now, you know, one can interpret that however you like. The Israeli interpretation is pretty clear that if the diplomacy doesn't work, then there is always a military option available. That's the Israeli interpretation of that particular statement, whether or not military option actually ever is implemented will be very, very fascinating to watch.
Well, I mean, his comment was that, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you a lot today, but his comment was that if diplomacy fails, other options are on the table. Well, when does diplomacy fail? I mean, from many perspectives, diplomacy has failed. That they are very close to achieving what they want to achieve in terms of a nuclear capability.
Well, I think is exactly the issue. That, you know, on the one hand, one can interpret that from an Israeli perspective, saying that the military option is available, and that it seems as if though the president is acknowledging that that might be a lot sooner, a lot nearer to us than has been the case up until now. That's one way of interpreting those comments. The other way of interpreting the comment is exactly as you've said, that, you know, even though diplomacy has already failed, the military option has never really been used. How far or near is that option? And of course, it's a very choreographed statement. Not only the meeting, but the statement was well choreographed, was very carefully put together in order to allow everybody to interpret it in the way that they wish to interpret it. Of course, we've interpreted it our way, and no doubt the peace camp have interpreted it their way. Interestingly, former U.S. ambassador to the Israel, Dan Shapiro, has now joined the State Department Iran team, whatever that might mean. I think that that brings a slightly different angle to all of this as well. We do know that the president particularly asked Naftali Bennett, very interestingly, not to put a lot of diplomatic pressure on the U.S. over the issue of Iran. What we saw in the Netanyahu era was that Prime Minister Netanyahu was the one to make Iranian statements at every opportunity, putting a lot of pressure on the U.S. administration and their policy about Iran. Where Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is concerned, we understand that President Joe Biden has asked him not to adopt that approach, to allow the U.S. to get on with things relatively calmly and quietly without a lot of international statements being made, a lot of attention being drawn to this in the international press, to allow the Americans just to get on with it and without the pressure. And it seems as if though Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has agreed to this.
Absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to watch this unfold. Dozens of people have gathered along the Gaza border for two nights in a row of protest. What is the current status along the Gaza border, Anthony?
So apparently the Palestinians have put together what they call night confusion units. And these are apparently units that are stationed along the Gaza border in order to burn tires, in order to protest, to fire, to force the IDF into action. Two nights in a row of protests were held Saturday night and Sunday night. We don't have any reports about anything that went down then. Responding to not only the protests on the border itself, but we're also carrying out retaliatory strikes against positions in Gaza. It is still unclear as to where all of this is really going to go, because we've seen not only the protests on the Gaza border, but we've also seen incendiary balloons being used once again, fires being lit on the Israeli side of the border. We understand in parallel to this that there has been a massive COVID outbreak in Gaza. The third wave apparently is taking hold there. So it's unclear exactly to what extent this might confuse the night confusion units in terms of what they're able to do. But certainly still a lot of tension along the Gaza border, tear gas being used. IDF have been definitely in action using stun grenades and other dispersal weapons, riot dispersal weapons, in order to try to keep things as relatively calm as they can. But certainly a lot of tension still persists along the Gaza border as we speak.
Obviously something that we'll need to keep an eye on and keep reporting on. Israel has now won 5 medals, including 3 golds at the Paralympic Games in Tokyo. What are the details of the latest medal winners?
And world records.
Wow.
Not only gold
wow.
medals, but indeed world records as well.
Awesome.
4 swimming medals, 3 golds, and a silver medal have been won in swimming events, and a silver medal in the rowing event. And, you know, when we look at the individuals concerned, they all present really fascinating stories. We did talk about the fact that Israel has a disproportionate representation of paraplegic or disabled athletes in these games, due to the fact that we have so many IDF veterans who've been injured. Interestingly, none of our medal winners come from that category of people, people who have been injured in the IDF. These are all people who have been disabled either from birth, who have suffered from cerebral issues along their lives. And they are now medal winners, gold medal winners, some of them at the Olympic Games. Mark Malia in particular is a Haifa-born athlete. He has cerebral palsy. He went to train to get therapy along with his twin brother, who is also a sufferer of cerebral palsy. And through their swimming training and therapy that they received, they then went on to become world-class swimmers. And Mark in particular has now won 2 gold medals, is the holder of an Olympic record and a world record. He holds the Olympic record in the 400-meter freestyle swimming, gold medal winner, and he also won with a world record time the 200 meters individual medley. So 2 gold medals for Mark. We also have our rowing champion, Moran Samuel. She is an interesting person because she was formerly a basketball player, an able-bodied basketball player in the Israeli national women's team. And then she suffered a spinal stroke at the age of 24, which paralyzed the lower half of her body. She has competed in Paralympic basketball and is now a silver medal winner in the rowing event, in the 2,000-meter rowing event. And we also have another swimmer who won a silver medal, and he won the medal in the 150-meter individual medley. So our swimmers have really done some amazing work, and all credit to that Haifa club where so many of the disabled swimmers go to in order to get their therapy and then come out as, you know, really, really good swimmers, having gone through training programs in order to help them with their disabilities and ultimately turn out to be world-class swimmers. and the one the person who won the 150-meter individual medley silver medal is Ami Omer Dadaon. So really a fantastic display so far from Israel's Paralympic athletes.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. It's about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, wishing you a fantastic day, and we'll of course catch you tomorrow morning.